This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back to another Shortcut Early Bird podcast. Today is July 14th. Joined as always with Dr. Rossi, who's up in Canada this week in Prince Edward Island. Frank, let's start with the weather. We still have a lot of warmth and moisture in the system, right?
Yeah, we're still getting a lot of moisture. It's funny, Carl. I'm in Prince Edward Island this morning, and they've had actually a bit of a dry spell out here in Atlantic Canada. Some of the areas are starting to dry out pretty good. Of course, lots of good sandy soils, lots of potatoes growing out here, Prince Edward Island. But I can tell you from what Art was saying, you know, we have good soil moisture. Occasionally it's been excessive. And I think the issue that we're facing now is, as you said earlier, offline, you know, the intense storms that we're getting sheet off, right? And then they don't resupply soil moisture, right? And so it might feel like you just got an inch and a half of rain, I shouldn't have to water. And yet from close appearance, especially if you've done well keeping a good sandy profile in your soils that drain well, the water didn't replenish the soil because it sheeted off. And now ET rates, Art says, are still at maximum 1.25 inches a week, so you're getting very good drying conditions very quickly. So just because the weather looks like it's raining, it still seems like excellent growing conditions across the board. But we did get a couple of other little things that came up along the way.
Yep, so every week we get a chance to talk to our regional associates and get an idea of what they're seeing around the Northeast. Frank, maybe you give us a little hodgepodge rundown of some of the things they mentioned in our call this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, insects are flying, crabgrass is growing, and diseases are active. I would say across the board, Jerry Giordano mentioned the bank grass in his lawns now are starting to fail, typically puffy bank grass that holds a lot of humidity in it. First and foremost, we'll get many foliar diseases because it keeps the humidity in that 3-inch canopy. So that gets to be a problem. Oriental beetles are flying. Japanese beetles are flying. People like to post pictures of beetles having orgies on their putting surfaces. So we got all kinds of pest issues going on. But I think the thing we want to go to next, right, is what we heard from the diagnostic lab and R.J. Buckwheat there.
Yeah, so what Rich Buckley was telling us was that in the past kind of week to 2 weeks, he's seen a shift from most of the samples coming into his lab as abiotic stress samples to now being almost all disease stress samples. What does that tell us about the growing conditions this year, and maybe what can we learn from that information?
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, so here's what we typically say, right? In many years, the big story is that there's such stressful conditions, that our plants are under so much environmental stress from the weather that they collapse, and he'll get 30 to 40 samples a day. Right now, he says he's getting about half that at 15 a day, and almost all of them are simply disease or insects. They're actually things that if you had your plants on a regular spray program, or maybe you have some resistance in your populations, maybe you're making your sprays and they're not working, or maybe you've said, hey, it's growing good, I'm not going to use my sprays. And so it's very clearly different this year that normally we talk about catastrophic failures from abiotic stresses like heat, you know, too hot and too wet. But it appears that we've had very little of that. That's an indication of what we've been saying, Carl, that it's not been a very stressful season. And it is a way to really, if you want to be progressive about it, if you have plants that are bothered, you know, are infected with these diseases, and they're small populations in small areas, you can let them go if there's not that much of it. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that on your putting surfaces, right? But you may have areas on your fairways, tees, surrounds, where, you know, well, it's diagnosed as a disease. It's a little patch. I'm going to let it take it and take that poa annua or bank grass that's in that area out that you don't want. Now, but truly, if you want to protect it, you can spray it. So it's another way of using pests as an ecological stress to develop more stress-tolerant disease and insect-resistant plants. So I always think that, you know, when you listen to the laboratories, like, you know, we have this pal in Rich Buckley who just gives us great updates all the time. You know, you start to think about, you know, what's happening that we cause, what's happening from the weather, and what's happening because sometimes the pests actually are an issue and pesticides are, you know, really needed to provide the turf we want. And that's why it's important to keep abreast of these things on the podcast, because we talk about these things that while it may not seem like a stressful year, it still is an opportunity to learn something about the system that you're managing.
Yeah, and just because things are going well and your turf looks good does not mean you should let your guard down, right? You should continue to stay aware of all the factors that are contributing to turf health and any potential factors that could lead to some injury later on. And as you said, Frank, an easy way to do this is by listening to the Early Bird podcast every week. If you haven't, give us a follow on Twitter and Facebook. If you have any questions you'd like us to answer on the podcast or some feedback for us, we'd really love to hear from you guys. So with that, that'll wrap it up for this week's episode of the Shortcut Early Bird podcast. We'll see you all next week.
Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.